Well, let's pray the chaplet. Good to be back here with you. I can't tell you how much peace this prayer gives me, and how delighted I am to share it with you. And if you want to get in, I'll give you the number. I know in Tucson, a lot of other areas, you might be new to the broadcast. The number to get in is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Of course, you can send us your petitions, and I strongly encourage you to do this. If you have a Twitter account, go to Twitter. The handle's at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show is kind of a show Twitter handle. Maggie handles that. She's going to be looking for your intentions and bringing them to air. So we'll share them on the air. Follow me at Drew Mariani as well on all of our social media. It's good to be there with you. Hey, before I begin, I was just sitting back and I was thinking about, the power of this prayer. I look at these previous generations, right? You take a look at what happened throughout the course of the past 2,000 years and how our Blessed Mother is our spiritual mother, how God has sent her prior to the bubonic plague, the French Revolution. There were reports of weeping statues and icons and of apparitions. She came in La Salette, warning of a great blight that would fall over France and Ireland. We know the potato famine. We saw what happened to our own country here in Champion with warnings of a great chastisement that 12 years to the date of the warning took place. We know what happened in Fatima. I can give you example after example. What's the common denominator? The Virgin comes because God is merciful. He sends her as our spiritual mother and says, look, this is all you have to do to hold back the hand of God. He's merciful. Pray, right? Just pray. Do penance. Amend your life. It's a very simple formula. And I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, could you imagine if the world responded to Fatima? We had never seen the rise of the Second World War or the horrors of communism and all the other evils that would come across the 20th century if the world would have responded. And I kind of believe we're at a similar crossroads. I believe humanity is at a spiritual crossroad. The sin in the world right now, the rejection of God, the godlessness, the immorality, it calls upon God's justice, his chastisement. And I think, as Our Lady in Fatima said, sometimes war is a punishment for sin. War is a punishment for sin. Things are heating up globally right now. And I'm not here to frighten you. That's not what I want to do. But I'm here to call you to pray. Because I believe my prayers, personally, my individual heartfelt prayers to God are heard and they resonate with him. I know that your personal prayers, those heartfelt deep from within your soul, reach the ears of God. They move his heart and his mercy abounds. And I believe when we come together and we pray together, we can thwart war. You know, Our Lady said through prayer and through fasting, right? You can suspend the laws of nature. Wars can be averted is what she said. You can find ways out of situations that have no way out. That is the power of your prayer. That is the power of fasting combined with it. And that's what I invite you to do. Please pray for world peace. I know we all pray for our own personal problems and our own little microcosm and world we live in, but pray for peace. Pray for the conversion of our leaders. Pray for morality to return. Let's pray for God's merciful hand. I believe if you really do that, if you do that, if I do that, God's going to hear, he's going to honor these prayers, and we don't have to go down that path of suffering that so many before us have gone. Yeah, it's just my personal view, and I believe that. I really do. I believe that passionately. I do. So I invite you to do that with me today. Hey, I'm praying with Maggie today. It's always good to have her behind the mic. Maggie, anything you want to lift up before we start?
Sure. You know, I was chatting with Representative Chris Smith we had on earlier in the show, and I said, you know, we were going to lift him and his family up during the chaplet, and he said, do that. And he said, also pray for a bill that I'm introducing to the House floor in the next couple of days. He said it would take aim at the horrific practice of organ harvesting.
Wow.
That he said Xi Jinping leaves quite a trail of this in the international spectrum. And so he said we're taking aim at that supply chain.
Yeah, remind me when we're done the show today, we should get him scheduled again. Get him back, you know, either Friday or Monday to get some attention to that. And as constituents and as citizens, you know, we should be talking to our elected officials about that. That's, again, another one of these grave, I think, sins in the world that such a loss of respect for the dignity of the human person on so many different levels. So I do want to pray. We'll pray for that. We'll pray for you. Please pray for me. I want to send a shout out to Bob Ott. He's a buddy of mine, right? I was sharing the story about how he lost his wallet I was driving into to work. I had lost my wallet. And he called me and said, I heard you on the air saying that. He said, Drew, please pray for me. He says, I lost my wallet too. He says, I can't believe it. I have everything in it. I don't want to cancel it yet. But man, I have no idea where it is. It's so important. It's been missing for a couple days. But this is a guy of profound faith, right? He says, I'm going to pray. I'm really going to believe. Would you please pray for me? I said, Bob, I promise you my prayers. And that day on the ride home from the studio, I prayed. I woke up the next morning about 4 a.m. And when I wake up sometimes, I just go into prayer. So I started to pray for him. He called me. He texted me, actually, the other day when I got home from work. And he said to me, Drew, I can't believe it. He says, I want to thank you. He says, for all your prayers. I found my wallet today. And everything was intact. Praise God. Again, he goes, thank you. I'm praying for you that you find your wallet or someone's going to return it to you. Well, I'm still waiting. I don't know. Maybe God's got another plan. I'm going to give it another round of searching. So maybe it will show up. I've been asking my angel to help me out. He says, Drew, I wasn't even actually looking when I found it. It's been 4 days since my wallet's been missing. And I drove an old car that's usually never driven because, you know, my wife took our regular car. And he says, I opened the car and there it was. He was just sitting there. So, I mean, yeah, can things be miraculously returned? Maybe. Sure. Why not? I'm not going to limit God. But he found his wallet after a long time being missing. If you are missing someone, you know, in your life, if you're missing your wallet or your keys or your passport or those legal documents, let's pray for that today. If there's a broken relationship and you want some unity, let's pray for that as well. Please pray for Jimmy Bell. Somebody just wrote he's got melanoma, started in his liver, then went to his brain. He's been given just a couple weeks to live. This comes just after the birth of his first grandchild. We'll pray for that. And also for Sarah, who's esophageal cancer. She was pregnant with her 9th child. The child was delivered, and the doctors removed a tumor from her stomach that was larger than her baby. She's now received a terminal diagnosis. She has weeks, less than 6 months to live. Mother of 9. We'll pray for miracles. All right, let's pray for miracles. That's all we can do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. We will take our first call today from Julissa. Hey, Julissa, good afternoon. Thanks for listening in Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
I'm new to this prayer, and I would like to pray for the mental health of teenagers nowadays that is uncontrollable, especially for my son, who is going through a hard moment, who intended to commit suicide not too long ago due to bullying. I'm asking everybody who is listening to pray for teenagers who bull others and kind of like, don't see the harm that they're doing to them.
Yeah. Well, Julissa, first of all, I'm glad you got through. Okay, we are here for you. All right, we love you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray in a particular way for your son. And I know What a dagger it is in the heart of a mother to know her child is being bullied to the point where he wants to take his own life. We will pray for him right now. We'll ask God's protection. We'll ask him to send angels to hold back the hand of your son from any self-harm. And we'll pray for the conversion of those who are perpetrating this bullying on him. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy. Comfort this mother. Give her divine wisdom. Give divine protection to her son. And bring conversion to those who are perpetrating this this bullying and this abuse. And I pray for anyone who's being bullied, anyone who's being victimized right now. I pray for those who are perpetrating it. Lord, I just ask for your mercy. You know, St. Faustina says in her diary that the soul gives the greatest glory to God when it turns with trust to his mercy. And that's what we have to do in these difficult times. We glorify God when we say, Lord, I trust you. I'm powerless in this situation. There's nothing I can do, and I trust you'll resolve it. So bringing Julissa and her son, and for all those with mental anxiety, depression, social anxiety, those with suicidal ideations, Lord, I ask for your healing, and I ask for intervention, and I ask for the right individual or course that brings about that healing as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Queens, New York. Beth Ann, good afternoon. Hi, Beth Ann.
It's Araceli.
Hi, Araceli. How are you? Good to hear from you.
I'm calling for healing for my niece, Nadalia. She's angry. She just turned 14, but she's an angry individual. She's angry. She's bitter. You know, I called on her before. She lost her mother at the age of 5. And my brother, doesn't attend to her the way he should. He is also very bitter, very angry. And they both need healing. And I know that his anger comes from when he was younger. His mother left him at my mom's house.
Wow.
And my mom raised him.
Wow.
You know, my father had an affair. He was born. And then when he was like 3 years old or four, I can't remember so long ago.
Okay.
He came one weekend and never went back home. And he would cry and cry for his mom. So I think all that stems from that. And the way that he is with my niece, I'm afraid that when she grows up, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's pray for him now. Araceli, I know you're a prayer warrior. I know you trust in God, and I know you got a lot of crosses in your life. Let's pray right now for your family, the family of your brother, for his daughter, your niece. We'll pray for healing. And you represent so many families where there is division, where there's dysfunction, where there's addiction, where there's disease, where there's abuse. But I just pray for the family right now. Just pray for the family. So that one family that's immune from some sort of hardship. And I just pray for the healing, Lord, of families, of relationships. And I ask that you draw those souls back home to you. And I give you every one of Araceli's intentions as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we jump over to Jeanette in Indianapolis, Indiana, let me go to Maggie, who's on the other side of the glass, taking a lot of your intentions. Maggie, what can we pray for?
Drew, Marge tweeted earlier today. She said there's been a partial collapse of the Bayshore Town Center parking lot in Glendale, Wisconsin. She said it's not far from my home, and I've been there many times. She said, please pray for this incident. I'm not sure for sure if there's any injuries due to this, but that's a surprise to have that happen. Delilah wrote to us and said, urgent divine mercy request. Please pray for my 2-year-old cousin, Lily, who was just diagnosed with leukemia yesterday. She is a precious child and loved by so many. Our hearts are shattered. We're praying for a miraculous recovery. Jesus, I trust in you. Chiara wrote to us and said, please pray for the repose of the soul of Amber Van Vickle. We prayed for her a couple weeks ago. She's a young mom with 5 kids, 2 of whom have special needs. She had stage 4 cancer. I think I had shared her GoFundMe page on our show account.
Yeah.
So may she rest in peace and God comfort her husband and kids.
Amen to that.
And Dominique wrote to us and said, I'm asking for prayers for the Pearsall, Texas IHM Catholic Church Women's Acts Retreat this weekend. Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen to that. I love it. Jesus, we do trust in you. Janet in Indianapolis, we're going to bring you into the conversation too. How can we pray for you?
Thank you for taking my call. My sister's husband, Ron, has the fast-moving cancer in his jaw, and he's been taking chemo, and he's gone into serious emergency. Anyway, he's really bad.
Awesome.
And my brother had kidney stone, large kidney stone taken out, and I'm asking for maybe that he has a miracle where everything's okay afterwards.
Well, let's pray for him. We'll pray right now for your brother-in-law with cancer. And Lord, I give you everyone who's in the fight with cancer. It affects so many souls and their family members. I give you Janet's brother who just had surgery. I pray for those who are now recovering, Lord, those with kidney problems, kidney stones. And I just give you all the health ailments, concerns, diseases that so many people are grappling with now. And you've healed so many times throughout Scripture. I just bring you the sick and the lame, the infirm, and Lord, I ask you to embrace them as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Russia next. Russia's praying in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Russia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for all. Everyone is listening. Everyone is waiting online. Everyone working there. Thank you guys for all what you guys do.
Yes.
My prayer is for my mother-in-law. She's 84 years old, and she has a handicapped daughter, and she's just getting difficult and difficult. She needs help, and I need a miracle from everyone. I want a miracle today for her. She doesn't know that I'm calling. Okay. I've been calling and trying to reach. I want a miracle for her, for this woman. She needs peace,
at least
whatever year she has left.
Well, that's a great prayer. Well, I want to pray for you, Russia, okay, for all your personal intentions, but we'll pray for your mother-in-law there. We'll pray for peace. That's a beautiful prayer. I believe the Lord hears our prayers, and I believe in his promise that anything we ask, if it's in accordance to his will be granted. Let's just believe that there'll be a change, and you know, one of the great... one of the great things that rob us of our peace is anxiety and fear. So I just ask that God vanquish that in your mother-in-law's heart, whatever's causing this lack of peace, for a resolution. But Lord, anyone right now who is discontent, anyone who's filled with fear and anxiety, anyone who has that lack of peace and is so longing for it, I bring them to the ocean of your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Plainview, Texas. Liliana, good afternoon.
Hi, Jew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Please pray for my dad, Robert Nava. We had to bring him to the emergency room, and he's facing renal failure.
Oh, no.
He's in dialysis right now and will be monitored for a couple of days to see if the dialysis will be a long-term treatment. We just ask that Jesus bring him complete healing. He's only 46, and his mom, my grandmother, died exactly 5 years to this day from the same thing.
Oh, no.
We just ask for a miracle, Drew.
Amen. I'm praying with you. All right, Liliana, I'm going to believe. I'm going to have a lot of faith right now that your father will be another testimony to the healing power, the great promises of this chaplet. Lord, I pray for Liliana that you comfort her and her family, give incredible wisdom to the physicians taking care of him. And I do ask for your divine touch. I know, Lord, you hear our prayers. So many are gathered with us now. And I just ask you to embrace this man that he may be a big and long part of Liliana's life. And I just bring him to you now. I pray for that miracle. Jennifer in Scottsdale, Arizona. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
I wanted to touch base on yesterday. I couldn't get in. You were talking about people who thought that the Divine Chaplet may have saved their lives in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Christmas night. I was driving home. I always have the Divine Chaplet card. It's right on my dashboard. I was driving, and for some reason, I changed lanes just before a red light. Mm-hmm. And as I changed lanes, I was listening to Christmas music on the radio, and suddenly there was a horrible, horrible multi-car collision right to the left of me, the lane to the left of me. There were about five cars involved.
Wow.
The car that was right next to me was completely smashed in the front and the rear. People were probably seriously injured. And I looked back, and all I could see and smell and hear was this horrible car accident.
Oh, horrible. Well, thank God for his mercy, right? Thank God for your protection.
Yeah.
Jennifer, let's on your call, let's just pray in thanksgiving right now for the way that God works in our lives, visibly and invisibly, how often he may protect and guide, send angels to visit. And we'll just give him our hearts in this final decade now. We'll just ask the Lord for mercy. Lord, I give you every intention that I have deep in my heart, and for all those who've asked me to pray for them, especially those whom I'm united to now. Lord, hear the cries of your children today. Let torrents of grace flow. Let there be many answered, many miracles, many resolutions. And I give you this prayer as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And before I say the concluding prayer, something just came to mind. Dr. Paul Kangor, you know him. His father just had a triple bypass, so he's recovering in the hospital. Dr. Kangor is going to join me a little bit later, but he's visiting his father right now. So I want to pray for the Kangor family, and in particular for his father. and for all those. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli, who I really should have talked to you more about. Today's the anniversary of his death. A powerful missionary to the early American frontier. He's a big, big time intercessor.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, don't go anywhere. I'll tell you why. When I return, I'm going to be joined by a man who had MS. You talk about how God can heal, how miracles happen. If you're a little bit unsure, I'm not a big believer in miracles. You want to hear this next story. This man had MS. He had lesions on his brain. It debilitated him to the point where he was stuck in a wheelchair, paralyzed, with the exception of being able to move one hand. He had an extraordinary experience at a place very close to you. I'll tell you what happened to him and how he got up out of that wheelchair. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, hey, thanks for joining me. You know, St. Faustina, she had a profound devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Her devotion to the Eucharist, really, is devotion to Christ himself. That's what the church teaches. That's exactly what the church teaches. And there's a treasury of grace. We often think about spiritual healings or consolation or peace we get. But I also think of the healing that sometimes we can see manifested through the Eucharist physically. I had a friend, I shared his story many times, or acquaintance, somebody who I knew, who was away from the faith and had such a powerful Eucharistic conversion that led him back into the church. He'd go on to become a Catholic priest. In fact, that's how radical his conversion was. Faustina would be in church. She was waiting for confession one time. She saw rays as she was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, just issuing from the monstrance. She saw them spreading out throughout the church. And she was given this gift of being able to see it for the entire service. Then after the benediction, the rays that shone out at both sides returned to the monstrance. And then the appearance was, it was bright, it was transparent, it was like a crystal. And she asked Jesus, you know, I asked Jesus that he deigned to light the fire of his love in all souls that were cold. And beneath these rays, a heart will grow warm, even if it were a block of ice, she said. Even if it were hard as a rock, it will crumble to dust, she writes in her diary. And she had many Eucharistic encounters. And I know you may have had the same thing. I think the Lord reaches out to all of us. A friend of mine called the show the other day. Not called the show. He sent me an email. And you know Wesley Smith, right? He's a great man, longtime friend of this particular broadcast. And he says, Drew, I want to put you in touch with a man who has an absolutely amazing story to share. This is a man who has been struggling with MS and he's paralyzed. Can't move anything but his arm. The MS progressed so It was so aggressive, you know, it has him paralyzed. You know, lesions are on the brain. His name was Mark Davis Pickup. And he ended up going before the Blessed Sacrament, where Jesus is truly present, or it's the Christ that have healed the leprosy, right? Who gave sight back to the blind and speech to the mute and ability to walk to the lame. And it was there before the Blessed Sacrament, something unbelievable took place. He joins me today to share his absolutely amazing story. And I hope this will enrich and edify you and even deepen your own love for our Lord's true presence in the Eucharist. Good to have you with me today, Mark. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. So good to be with you, and thank you for having me on your show.
I'm delighted to have you. I loved your story. When Wesley reached out to me and he says, "Hey, Drew, you got to check this story out." It was kind of providential because, you know, I've been wanting to write a second book. I've been wanting to write one on the Eucharist. And I've been looking for some of these great Eucharistic miracle stories, right, of healing and conversion. And when yours came across my radar, I said, I really didn't hear this in a whole lot of other places. Maybe your story was out there, but it was new to me. And I figured if it's new to me, it's probably new to a lot of people. So I thought maybe you could take us through what you battled. Progressive multiple sclerosis is serious. My wife's brother married a woman who battles that, so my sister-in-law has MS, and I know how difficult that can be. Tell us your story.
I was diagnosed with the disease in 1984, so I've had it for a very long time. The first couple of years were very aggressive. The disease would take away my ability to speak and then return it, then it would affect my hearing and then return that, then I would go spastic. And all the attendant really frightening symptoms that come along with MS, my limbs were affected. And each time that I would have an attack, it would return some but not all of the previous function. And so there was this slow decline. That's what the stage that they call exacerbating remitting MS. At about the 10-year mark, or, well, 15, somewhere in there, it started to move to another phase, which is called secondary progressive, which you don't have the significant remissions anymore. They get less and less pronounced and more slight as goes on. So by about, well, it would be about 2006, 2008, somewhere in there, it was getting so serious that, in fact, I was triplegic, meaning that I only had the use of my left arm. Wow. And that was it. I was in an electric wheelchair. And in fact, my left arm was beginning to be threatened, and they put me on a really toxic chemotherapy drug. It was experimental at the time, which didn't do anything other than cause problems. And so there was really nothing they could do other than manage the symptoms. Now, there are some very fine medications that are out now, but most of them are for earlier stages of MS. I continued to travel across North America speaking about disability rights and against assisted suicide and euthanasia. And the Lord just gave me the, as I was going down, it was getting more difficult as time went on. I had to pull out of public speaking in 2018. Wow. And it was at that time that I went before the Blessed Sacrament. And I prayed an often prayed prayer throughout those decades that if the Lord would just allow me to get out of the chair, to stand, and maybe walk, even if it was with canes or crutches or a walker, just to walk, even if it was for a short time, but just let me walk again for a short time. And I left it at that. Within about a week, it's almost embarrassing to say this because of the love that was expressed.
Right.
I was awakened in the middle of the night by a presence. It was him. And it wasn't sort of me perceiving it. It was there as real as if my wife was standing in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, not in words, but in understanding, to with my right hand to touch my baby finger. And I did it. I hadn't been able to do that in 20 years.
Wow.
And then touch your next finger, next finger, next finger. Do it again. which I did. I didn't say anything at first to my wife because I wasn't sure how long it was going to last. But within a couple of days, it was still there. And when she came out in the morning to the kitchen, I was sitting there having my morning coffee as usual, and I wrote my name. And my writing was exactly as it had been 25 years earlier. She started to cry. And she said, how long has this been the case? And I said, it's been very few days ago. I don't know what it means. Then we carried on. Yep. And it was maybe it was a week. No, the time frames, I could be off by a week. So. I was sitting in the kitchen again with my morning coffee. My wife's mother had just died, and her walker was off in the corner. And again, that presence was there. And again, the understanding came to me that stand and take that walker and walk. Well, Drew, you've got to understand, it had been so long since I had used my legs. They were atrophied. Right. They were just popsicle thin. And but I was told to, so I got up, and my legs were shaky, and I grabbed that walker, and took five steps, and I was stunned, and then I took another five, and then five became 10.
Wow.
And then before I knew it, I made it down the hallway, and I called my wife, she was still sleeping, and said, Laurie, her name is Laurie. Get up, you got to see this. So she got up with her, sort of wiping the sleep out of her eyes, and she saw me walk with this walker, and she literally staggered back. Now, what happened was the walker became two canes.
Yeah.
It became one cane, and now in the house, I don't use the cane at all. I do when we go out shopping or something. I use a cane now. But you have to remember, this was a man who at one time had to be strapped into his chair because I would sort of slump off to one side.
Yeah, I don't want people to forget that because that's such a key point. You were really a quadriplegic almost, right? I mean, you could not move at all, and yet God, in his mercy, restored your mobility.
Well, I could move, but I couldn't stand. Right. I couldn't use my right arm. I couldn't cut my meat. There was a time when I had to be dressed. We've actually built a wheelchair accessible house when I was first diagnosed, and I was struggling to get up the stairs. And my wife said, "That's it. We're selling the house. We're going to build something accessible," which we did. We presumed that the fate was going to be that I would be in a wheelchair, which did happen. Right. And for many many years, I was unable to walk or stand. And
Well, what were you going through when this healing took place? What did you feel? I mean, you felt the presence of the Lord. It reminds me of the story of a man named Ugo Festo as well, who was miraculously cured of multiple sclerosis as well. But some final thoughts. I only have a moment or two left for you here, Mark. For those who feel their situation is impossible and they're in a similar situation, I mean, what was it about the Blessed Sacrament that brought about this incredible healing, and what would you say to them?
To know that Christ's presence is fully in that sacrament, that he is there, that we can take whatever is in our lives and going on to him in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
Now, that's really, in the end, all I can say is that the doctors could do nothing.
Amen.
I'm walking today where I could not before, and that's what has happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
I love it. You don't have to say anything more. You know why, Mark? With God, all things are possible. I think you're a tremendous witness to the power of God's love and ultimately to his mercy and to the power of his true presence in the
universe.
Okay,
one last thing I want to say, because I'm at the end stage MS.
Yeah.
My brain's riddled with plaque.
Yeah.
I should not be able to do this.
Yeah.
My neurologist can't figure it out. And what has happened is nothing less than God's doing.
Yeah.
We were actually getting ready that I would eventually go into a nursing home.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was getting.
Wow. And now God has healed you. I love it. And I love that, too, because I was sharing your story a little bit, I think the other day or the day before, when Wesley had told me that your brain was riddled with these lesions, and yet for some reason doctors are saying he should not be able to walk. And this is ridiculous. But with God, all things are possible. Mark, thank you. I got to hold it right there. I got to take a quick break. When I come back, too, you know, what I want to share, too, is a little bit about a very similar situation. There was a man named Ugo Festo I had met who had muscular dystrophy. He had epilepsy. He had all these horrible diseases. And God healed him in a very similar way. Literally. I mean, he got him right up out of that wheelchair. So I'll share that story and love to hear your own encounters. Did the Lord heal you before the sacrament, Blessed Sacrament? Give me a call.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get caught up on that conversation you missed by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just select The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, I was just talking with Mark Pickup, a man who lives in Canada. He's pro-life, anti-euthanasia, and came down with MS. He had it since the 80s, and MS is progressive. 5 years ago, he was completely paralyzed except for his left arm. He said he'd slouch over in his chair, and he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't do much of anything for himself except write on a computer with just one hand. And he was so disabled, Maggie and I were just talking about this, he would qualify for euthanasia in Canada. Maggie, what's that program called again? Was it MAID, M-A-D-E?
M-A-I-D.
M-A-I-D, right? And that stands for what? Do you remember what it is? I don't remember. Is it something assisted?
Something about assisted death. I'll have to look it up.
For euthanasia. And this guy would actually qualify for that today, where Canada would more than be willing to assist in taking this man's life, right? So it stands for Medical Assistance in Dying, and he would clearly qualify. So he was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. He was praying for healing, and I just want to say to you, do the same thing. I often say, hold out a big cup. Don't limit God. God can get you up out of that wheelchair. God can restore your vision. God can heal your marriage. God can free you from your cancer. There's no limit for God, right? There's no limit. Why do you limit yourself? Why do you put yourself in a tiny little box? Why do you hold out a thimble to God when you should be holding out a bucket and saying, Lord, fill it? God's generous. He overflows. He rejoices much when we ask much, he told St. Faustina, right? So this man asked for a miracle. It's impossible, the medical community says. There's no way. You're paralyzed. You've got lesions all over your brain. You've got MS. You're probably going to be dead soon. We're going to put you away, right? And what happens? Our Lord, who's truly present in the Eucharist, heals this man. He began to have that restored healing, as you just heard. And then his abilities began to return. And what I like about his story, it's not instant. He didn't just jump out of the wheelchair. God began a healing process in him. And it puzzled his doctors because the plaque still riddles his brain. But now he can walk. Now he can walk. Wesley Smith, who turned me on to this story, made me aware of it. He says he's a friend of mine. Drew, I used to carry him up 3 steps. And this guy, I'm telling you, he was dead weight. And Wesley sent me a link of a video of him walking, you know. And Wesley, I want to thank you for passing along. I think it's so wonderful. Reminds me of a story I put in my book. When I had gone to Italy, and I had the opportunity on one of these projects I was working on to meet Ugo Festo. And Ugo Festo was a young man who, to be honest with you, he was miserable. he was miserable. And the Lord completely and totally healed this guy as well. I shared his story before. I'll just give you a thumbnail because I don't have a whole lot of time here. Ugo ended up having MS. He had epilepsy. I think he had muscular dystrophy too. I mean, he was a wreck. And he went before the Pope, Pope John Paul II, for a papal audience. And if you ever see the infirm there, they're often sitting before the, they get in the front row. So John Paul II comes up to him and sees how miserable he is. And he says, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with you? And Ugo tells him about his problems. And the Holy Father said to him, he made conversation, and he said, you know, you've got the divine mercy. He was holding this image. And he says, turn to St. Faustina. Ask the divine mercy to heal you. And the Holy Father blessed his divine mercy image. And that opened the floodgates for Ugo. And it just wasn't a physical problem. He was dealing with a lot of anger, a lot of physical pain as well. There's a lot of troubles that he dealt with. And he went to a divine mercy retreat up in Trent, Italy. And there was this giant life-size image of divine mercy there, giant, right? And he made up his mind. He said, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to ask God to take these problems and I'm going to ask him to heal me. And he prayed and he prayed and prayed. He knelt down the next day. Nothing happened. He came back. He did it again. Nothing happened. And I love his story too. These are all lessons for us. He came back again. It was either the third or the fourth day. Knelt before the image. And on the fourth day, something unexplainable happened. As he was kneeling, as he was praying, he said he felt something strange, is the word he used for me. He says there was this warm sensation, Drew. It filled my body. And suddenly I had to look up. My head was bowed in prayer. I looked up at the image. And he says, Christ's arm, if you know the image of divine mercy, he says, one is up and blessing, the other is holding his chest. He says, it wasn't like that. I looked up. And Jesus' arm was stretched out towards me. And the next thing I know, he stepped out of this life-size picture and started walking towards me. And Ugo in his head is saying, no, this can't be happening. This can't be happening, right? He looked back up and he was stunned by what he had seen, right? Jesus, if it's really you, he said, lift me up so that I can walk. Sounds like something right out of the scriptures, doesn't it? And Jesus said to him, four simple words. He said, rise up and walk. And suddenly Ugo, his shriveled and thin, atrophied legs, as he looked down, had returned to normal. His curved spine from the scoliosis that he battled with his entire life suddenly straightened. And this man could move. He could walk. He says, Drew, I never felt so good in my life. And for the next 15 years of his life, this guy was a tireless promoter of divine mercy. And I tell you that story because I want you to hear, just as Mark Davis shared his story, right? As Mark Davis Pickup, his full name, shared his story, that Christ that stepped out from the image of divine mercy is the same Christ that's before you in the Blessed Sacrament, in churches near you, where you pray. Go to adoration. Spend some time with the Lord, right? You're sick. You're battling depression or anxiety. Bring it to the Lord. You're struggling financially. That's a tremendous burden and cross. Bring it to the Lord. You have those migraines, those ocular migraines, maybe. Maybe you have scoliosis. Maybe you have RA or neuropathy or chronic pain. Maybe your arteries are clogged. Bring it to the Lord. He is truly present. Body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. It's the same Lord that healed the leper, raised the dead. It's the same man, Lord that healed Mark Davis Pickup. It's the same Lord that healed Ugo Festo. And it's the same Lord that can heal you. All right? We live in a special time. Don't hold that thimble. Hold out that big cup. Believe that all is possible with God. Miracles happen every day. And I like to bring them to you. You know, Mark was one of those men. Ugo was another. Maybe you'll be one of those stories I will one day share. Stay with me when we come back. I'll turn you on to a very powerful intercessor. His name, Samuel Mazzucchelli.